Good to be back with you again this evening. We trust again that the Lord will bless our time together. Could we turn, please, to Psalm 103, a very familiar and a very well-beloved psalm, Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasures. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. If you said this is a very well-known psalm, one that you probably read and thought about and repeated again and again, tonight there's just a few words out of it that I want to pick out, and they're down at the beginning of the 15th verse. As for man. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourishes. And I'd like to couple them with two other as fors. One of these is from the 18th Psalm, verse 30, where it starts off, as for God. And then Psalm 17, verse 15, as for me. As for man, as for God, and as for me. In this modern world in which we live, we talked this morning about the main thing is existing for today, and everybody wants to be a success. Everyone wants to be the best at anything that's going. They want to be at the top of the ladder. Nobody wants to be in the middle rung or anything like that. Everybody wants to be the best there is in life. They want to do better than their neighbors, better than their friends. This has always been a pattern of life as we sought to achieve success. In fact, those of us that were born of parents that came from the other side, we know what it meant to them as they struggled to see their children get educated, and how it would mean to the immigrants if their kids could get off to college. At least they wanted their sons to get off to school and get an education and get into a profession and be successful. The girls did, that was all right too, but the main thing was the sons. And the one desire of those parents was to see that their children were left in a better state in this world than they were. They wanted their families provided for. They made tremendous sacrifices. They went to all lengths to provide for their children and what they were doing. And that was so important. And yet at the same time, they did not want to leave out the things of the Lord. They didn't want to forget the fact of what we read from this chapter here. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. What tremendous words these are. And what a reminder they are to our hearts in the days of gross materialism. Oh, we need to remember that as for man, his days are as grass. If you look about the grass around the air, you know how temporary that is. It's here today and gone tomorrow, and you're working at it all the time, and you never do get good grass. At least I never do. But doesn't last very long. And the Lord tells us that's the way it is for the days of man. As for man, his days are as grass. Very temporary existence. And temporary things, temporal things occupy our thoughts all the time. We're so busy just making a living, keeping our house in order, trying to make our grass grow, keep the leaves off the lawn, and maybe squeeze in a little social activity. They occupy all of our time and our attention. But should they? It's only a very short time, then it's all be over. What really matters are eternal things. The next verse in that psalm, the 17th verse of Psalm 103, tells us, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness is unto children's children." The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. As for man, his days are as grass. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. And his righteousness is unto his children's children, to those that keep his covenant, to those that remember his commandments, do them. The Lord is good to us. The Lord is good to all who put their faith and trust in him. Nothing temporary about it. It is forever. It is permanent. It's not like the grass of the field. It's not going to wither and go away. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. It will endure forever. And because of this mercy of the Lord, the psalmist sings that he does in those first five verses. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. What important and precious words these are. And you know that some people do a lot of analysis about the Bible, and I read somewhere that these two verses, verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 103, are the two middle verses of the Bible, and how it is to have this message right at the heart of the Bible. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And then the psalmist goes on to remunerate some of the things that we have that the Lord does for us. Forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Forgives all our iniquities. That's the greatest blessing we get from our God and our Lord, is that he forgives all our iniquities. Ephesians 4:32 tells us, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Man says he forgives, but he seldom forgets. You recall this morning we said that the Lord not only forgives our sins, he forgets them. He puts them as far away from us as the east is from the west. And he remember them no more. And what a blessing this is to us. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. It'd be hard to go on from here without looking at the second "as for" that I'm thinking about tonight. And that's what we find in Psalm 18, verse 30. It says there, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him." As for God, we read in Psalm 18, his way is perfect. As for man, his days are as grass. And our God, his way is perfect, and it's a shield and a buckler for us. God saves us, and God is good to us. As for man, his days are as grass. As for God, his ways are perfect. Just think again of those beginning words of that 103rd Psalm. Who forgiveth, who redeemeth, who satisfieth. Notice how the Holy Scriptures are in the present tense. It's not what he has done. It's not what he's going to do in the future. He's doing it for us all the time. Who forgiveth, who redeemeth, who satisfieth. God's tender mercies run parallel with our lives. He's there all the time, meeting all our needs, helping us in all our problems. Anything that comes along, our Lord and our God are there to help us. We should count our blessings. We should enumerate them in our mind and think of them, and then praise God. Forgiveness, healing, redemption, satisfaction, all these things the Lord gives to us. He gives forgiveness, as we have seen. Then it says he heals all our diseases. He heals the soul. Psalm 23 tells us that. He restoreth my soul. And in accordance with his will, he heals our bodies of many diseases. He redeemeth our life from destruction. Because we didn't have our faith and trust in him, You know what would happen to us? We'd go to a lost eternity without Christ, without any hope of salvation. We know that God cannot look upon sin. He will not look upon sin. He cannot tolerate it. And we are sinners, and we are therefore not fit for His presence. The Lord will have nothing to do with us in our own condition. But if our faith and trust is in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, He will look at us. And He will not see us in our own standing, but He'll see us clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can praise His name for that. And then He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies, and so on through the verses we go. Verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. He doesn't give us what we deserve. He gives us what Christ purchased for us. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him, for He knoweth our frame. He remember that we are dust. And as we think of these words, and you try to say, well, what more can we say? There really isn't anything else you can say. These words are very simple and very plain, and they tell us a lot about what we have when we have our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. But then when you look at all these good things that are said about our God and about our Lord, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that He's done for us, and then you read that, as for man, his days are as grass, and so on. What a contrast. What a sublime contrast between man's weakness at his best and God's eternity of mercy. We read it again there in verse 17. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness is unto children's children. As for man, his days are as grass. As for God, His way is perfect. We stop and we think about that. We examine our own lives and we check up on the blessings we have and the things that we do for the Lord, and we meditate about that. And then we say to ourselves, as for man, his days are as grass. As for God, His ways are perfect. But what about me? What can we say about as for me? As for me, what? Shall I be like man in general? Shall I just try to be like everybody else that's all around me and be content to know that my sins have been forgiven and I'm on my way to hell? Never forget what David Long said at one of the conferences in the tabernacle many years ago. He challenges us not to use our salvation as a fire escape from hell. We need to use it for more than that. We need to use it as a means of giving glory to the Lord Jesus Christ and to do something to help Him. Are you content that your sins have been forgiven and you're not concerned at all about the salvation of the lost all around you and all around the world? Are you content that your sins have been forgiven and then you have no desire to fellowship with the Lord's people? Are you content that your sins have been forgiven and you don't care to obey all the commands that the Lord has given you in Scripture? You only want to do what you want to do and what makes you comfortable. You have no regard for what God's Word really says. Are you content with your salvation? You're not concerned at all about those that have left their homes, their security, all that they had here in the States and have gone to the far corners of the earth to spread the gospel? As for me, what? Down through the years, there have been many that have given consideration to this very difficult question, really. As for me, what? William Carey, the founder of the modern mission movement, he has troubled about this. He and a group of men were concerned that the gospel should go out to all the world. And William Carey thought, as for me, I've got to give my life to spreading the gospel. And he tried his best to get people in England to work with him and get out the gospel and get on a trip to India. But they wouldn't have anything to do with it. He labored for many years with them trying to get them going, trying to get them interested in a missionary vision. One time he had a meeting in a very large English Baptist church there. And he had a friend with him. His friend's name was Fuller. And he tried to get them to commit themselves to a missionary work in India. But they wouldn't do it. They thought the idea was great. But I guess, like so many of us do today, they saw problems and difficulties. They didn't want to be bothered. So they said, now's not the time. We should put it off a little while. And William Carey turned to his friend Andrew Fuller. And he said to Andrew Fuller, will you go home again and do nothing? And Andrew Fuller's heart was touched. And he decided to give his friend William Carey some good backing. And as a result, William Carey went to India. And for the first 20 or 25 years, William Carey seemed to accomplish very little in India. There didn't seem to be any interest in the gospel. Souls didn't seem to be being saved. Only a very few of the Indians were interested in what he had to say. But as a result of the work that was started by William Carey, in 100 years, there was 1.25 million converts to the Christian faith. And in the next quarter century, this had doubled to 6 million. And today, there are untold millions of Christians in India. William Carey pondered what he should do. And he said, as for me, I'm going to commit myself to the spread of the gospel, to see others come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. He was concerned with more than what he saw right around him. Another name that many of you may remember from the handbook, he's now with the Lord, was that of Jan Saraki. Jan and Charlotte Saraki, who served the Lord in Czechoslovakia. Jan was born in Yugoslavia. He came to this country as a young boy and later returned with his parents to his native land. And over there, he and his brother became quite interested in the assembly activities, and they worked hard at spreading the gospel in Yugoslavia. Those two boys together saw established an assembly that where it stands now, I don't know, but in the days before the recent troubles, it was the largest assembly in Yugoslavia, still going on strong. But in 1923, Jan Saraki came back to the United States. He married Charlotte from Tarrington, Connecticut. They moved out to Detroit. They raised their family, and then he decided that he had to think about what the Lord had done for him. And he meditated on all the things the Lord had done for him, all the blessings he had, all the good things he enjoyed. And he pondered in his own heart, what can I do for the Lord Jesus Christ, who saved me from my sins? And he decided the best thing he could do was to go back to Europe and take the gospel to that land where there was such a great need. And he and his wife went to Czechoslovakia, and there they served the Lord for many years. They and their two children served the Lord in Czechoslovakia. He faithfully witnessed to the people of Czechoslovakia through all sorts of difficult times and troubles and persecutions and problems. His thought would be, as for man, his days are as grass. But as for me, I'm going to serve the Lord to the best of my ability. Have you ever thought what you could say for yourself if you tried to complete a statement beginning, as for me? What would you say? Would you say, as for me, I'll take good care of my family. I'll see that they're adequately provided for. I'll see that my children get to Sunday school so they understand the truths of God's Word. This is great. But is it enough when you stop and think of all that the Lord has done for you? Of all that the Lord Jesus Christ went through to purchase your redemption? How can you do less and give Him your best and live for Him completely? Well, would you say, as for me, I'm glad I'm saved, but and I'm not going to a lost eternity. I'll go to Family Bible Hour every Sunday, and I'll try to live a good life to the best of my ability. And again, we can say, thank the Lord you're saved, but is that enough? We read in the closing verses of Matthew, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. This is the great missionary commission, the great challenge to go and teach all nations, starting at home and then spreading out in an ever-widening circle till you have covered all the ends of the earth. Do you have any interest in that? We know you have a great missionary interest, and we're thankful for that, an interest in those that have left these borders and gone out faithfully to serve Him. Just think of some of the people you know. Some well-known names that I'll mention are known to both of us. Think of Ernest and Elizabeth Wilson. The 50-some years they put in the service for the Lord in Angola. Still witnessing daily for the Lord to the best of their ability. Elizabeth was 95 this past week, and she was out at the meeting last Sunday morning. And she is still doing her best to reach others with the news of Christ. Think about Cyril and Anna Brooks. They went to the Philippines. Think of the time they spent in the prisoner of war camp when the Japanese overran the Philippines. When the war was over, did they come home and try to find an easy life? No. They went back to the Philippines and continued their laboring for Him until the Lord called them home. There are others that you know and you can think about. George and Ina Wiseman have spent so long in Angola. Think of Carl and Eleanor Johnson in Burundi. Just pray for them and their family. The last we heard this week was that Carl and Harry had stayed close to the mission station, but the rest had been moved to a place for safety. Think about them and all they endured. One thing about Carl that I didn't know, but somebody told me not too long ago, that when he went to Wheaton, he was the outstanding athlete for years and years and years. He gave all that he had and all he could have had for this country and went out to serve the Lord. Not only served the Lord, but raised his children so that they too are back serving the Lord. And then you have those that are out from your own assembly here. Then you've been a great help as you've commended Alice and Ruby White to the work of the Lord. The Finch girls, so many of them that have gone out, we've got to think about them and remember them. Pray for those that are serving the Lord, that he will bless and protect them. Think of Bob and Sue Cullen in Rwanda. We just pray that they are safe at this time. Think of these. They said, as for me, I will serve the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. After all he's done for me, I'm going to seek to serve him to the best of my ability. Their response to the love of the Savior is to serve him wherever he wants them to be. They followed the call of the Lord to the mission field, to wherever the Lord called them. They were willing to go, no matter what the conditions, no matter what the problems might be, they were willing to go. We say they're in full-time service, but every one of us should be in full-time service to the Lord. Missionaries are vitally needed, and we earnestly desire to see more young folks and even older folks exercise about going to the mission field and serving the Lord in this manner. The cry comes from many places for those that are able to teach the gospel. Some of the nationals can do very well at evangelization, but they're not very well versed in the scriptures. They don't have the books and the aids that we have here in this country and in other lands to search the scriptures and study them. So they need those that will help them and those that will train them and help them understand the scriptures. They know they need those that will go out and teach the word of God to assist in the building up of the saints. The national believers need this help, and they are crying for help. I remember many years ago, George Mortland Sr. coming back from Argentina and Paraguay with a request for help. Please send some who can preach and teach God's word. And we're thankful for the many that are out doing that today. We're thankful for the many Bible schools. In addition to their evangelistic activities, so many of the missionaries have become involved in and helping to get training into the hands of these people so that they can carry on the work themselves. When the missionaries are thrown out of the country, they're able to carry on the work. I think of Angola, talking to George Wiseman not too long ago, reminding me again, he was over the telephone, the great work that's going on in Angola. That's because men like him and T. Ernest Wilson and David Long did their job well. They taught the individual Christians there the scriptures. And though they have been out of the country and only a few missionaries allowed in there now, the assemblies are growing. The Church of Christ is growing in Angola like it never has before. Growing, and they are solid in their beliefs and in the way they carry on their activities. And assembly missionaries like these have been going out for many years. Anthony Norris Groves went out a long time ago, 1829, I believe it was, went out to Baghdad. And the assembly missionary movement has grown from that small beginning to where today there are over more than 1,500 missionaries out from the English-speaking commending assemblies. Over 1,500 of them. And they have literally turned the world upside down. You may recall that when Echoes of Service, the missionary service group in England, was 100 years old, they published a little fat book called Turning the World Upside Down, and it told of all the activities of the missionaries. Now, that little fat book was great. It's since been replaced by 10 volumes that the world may know, and it tells all about the assembly missionary activity. There's a lot of mistakes in that book. A lot of people don't remember things as they happened, but it's still a wonderful recording of all that went on by the assembly missionaries. Of all of those that said, as for me, I'm going to follow the Lord's calling. I'm going to do something to help the Lord. And there's a story told about one of the editors of Echoes at that time that desperately wanted to go to the mission field. He was born in Glasgow in Scotland of godly English parents in the early 1900s, and he was married in 1925, and he and his wife were exercised about serving the Lord in Portuguese-speaking countries. They went to great lengths in preparing themselves for it. They went to school. They studied the language. They had a good command of the language. And then they spoke to the elders of their assembly about going out to serve in the Portuguese-speaking countries. And the elders had to remind them that they had certain family responsibilities at home that they had to take care of, responsibilities to his parents or her parents that they couldn't pass on to somebody else, that they were theirs. And so they did not recommend that they should go to the foreign field. But this couple was not discouraged. They stayed home. They stayed where they were, and they gave themselves to the Lord, and they continued in the work, and they served him where he let them be. They didn't get disgusted and unhappy because they weren't commended. They gave faithfully and served the Lord faithfully in every way they could. And that's where you and I come in serving him. We don't have the call to the mission field. We at least have the call to serve the greatest of masters, serving him right here in your own area. We have to get away from materialism of this world and think about Christ and what he has done for us. The story told about Alexander the Great. We are told that on his deathbed, he gave an order that when he was being buried, when he was to be carried out for the burial service, his hands were not to be inside the clothes in which they wrapped him. And he had a reason for this. He wanted people to see that he was taking nothing with him. He was a man who had conquered the world. He was the ruler of the Eastern Empires and the Western Empires, and he controlled the wealth of all of these. And yet, as he left this life, he was going out with nothing. And he wanted people to see, he wanted the poorest beggar to see, that at the end of your life they are all equal. At that time, he could take nothing with him. And how this speaks to our hearts. That's where you and I come in serving him. We haven't heard the call to the mission field. We can serve him where we live. Serve him right here in your own area. And if we live for the world, we'll go out of this world empty-handed. But if we live for Christ and live for eternity, we'll depart full-handed, rich in faith, soon to enter upon an eternal inheritance. We have to remind ourselves that God has no hands but our hands to do his work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men in his way. He has no tongue but our tongues to tell men how he died. He has no help but our help to bring them to his side. We are the only Bible the careless world will read. We are the sinner's gospel. We are the scoffer's creed. We are the Lord's last message written in deed and word. But what if the line is crooked? What if the type is blurred? What if our hands are busy with other work than his? What if our feet are walking where sin's allurement is? What if our tongues are speaking of things his lips would spurn? How can we hope to help him unless from him we learn? God needs us. Christ needs us. He can do the job himself, but he wants us to help him to do this job. If we deny him and he is calling us, he'll find someone else and God's work will go forward. But he is calling to each of us and reminding us that we are to be his hands. We are to be his voice. We are to be his feet. And I think about that a lot as I think about my own acceptance of the Lord. It was way back in 1935 when I was a senior in high school. I had been much under the conviction of sin. Worried about what was going to happen to me, where would I spend eternity? I'd been going to Sunday school for as long as I could remember. We were going to a little Methodist church in Jersey City, in the Greenville section. Gone there ever since my parents moved up there from downtown Jersey City to the farmlands of Greenville, which is now a mess. But nevertheless, we went faithfully there. They had been Presbyterians on the other side. But the Presbyterian church was too far away. But I never remember hearing the gospel in that Sunday school. Maybe I did, but never made any impression on me. But I heard a lot about the Lord at home and a lot of strange things, too. 1928, my mother and father were greatly worried that Al Smith was going to get elected president. What would we do with a Catholic president? So upset that we bought a radio so that we could hear the results. But every time after that, every Sunday afternoon on the radio, we had Tom Noonan and the Bowery Mission he was. And then at night we had Pastor Charles Drew of the Patterson, the Baptist Church in Patterson, and Old Fashioned Revival Hour. And we had them on. Us kids would be doing our homework. But when one of those men said, let us pray, we had to stop. And we listened. And we heard. And many a night I went to sleep thinking, where would I spend eternity? What would happen to me if the Lord came that night? You know, I honestly can't tell you specifically when I gave my heart to the Lord, but I do remember at a big rally one time when I made a public confession that I'd accepted Christ as my Savior. I knew that I wanted to belong to Him, and ever since that time, I tried to serve Him in any way we could. I was very active in the local church back there. I was active in the Effort League, as they call it. I was in countywide interdenominational work where we had rallies to bring all the young people together. I was licensed as a local preacher in the Methodist Church and really thought I was doing the things that were great. But then along came World War II, and that changed a lot of people's plans, a lot of things that happened. And in October of 1941, I was drafted, and I didn't get back home again to stay until October 1945. Quite a bit out of your life. But during those war years, the Lord was very precious to me. He was very close to me. I called upon Him again and again, and He heard every time. I spent over 3.5 years overseas. At least 2.5 of that was in combat, everywhere from the west coast of New Guinea up into the Philippine Islands. The Lord was always very close and ever precious to me. And again I would say, the Lord, oh, if You'll only get me out of here, get me home, I'll do whatever You want me to do. I'll serve You wherever You want me to do. I'll do whatever You want me to do. I even thought I might like to be a minister in the Methodist Church. But I came home and that didn't follow through at all. I came back and I got back in the activities in the local church. I even expanded them. I did a lot of preaching. Wherever I went, I preached the gospel. And most places it was well received. Very active in the lay work, as they call it. It makes me laugh now when we talk about laymen's associations. And then we got married, May and I. She was fellowshipping in the assembly, and I was still going to the Methodist Church. I would go at times with her at night, good friends with George and Emma Wiseman at that time. We were in our home many times, and then we moved out to Westfield, and I thought, well, things will be better out here. When I was in Jersey City, I was the treasurer, and I was getting calls, and they were saying, if you don't pay the church's electric bill, we'll shut off your electricity and things like that, and very depressing and things so on. But went out there to Westfield, and I thought, big suburban church, lots of money, no problems. It was worse. There was no heart for the things of the Lord. And I didn't think I was doing anything in my service to the Lord. They had 2 services every Sunday. They had so many members. The Presbyterian Church up the road had 3 services. Neither of them do anymore, but in those days, right after the war, they did. And I would go to my Methodist Church service, and then I'd go to the service at Woodside. I'd attend the breaking of bread, and I was impressed with the Lord's Supper. It meant so much to me to see the simple way in which they remembered the Lord's command. And then one day, it was at that assembly, announced that one of the men had passed away, and there was prayer given up that there would be many men raised up that would help to fill the gap that was left by the departure of this brother. And that really challenged my heart, as I knew that those folks at Woodside were doing something for the Lord. Souls were being saved. Men and women were coming to know Christ and being built up in their faith. And about that time, I really got disgusted with my friends in the Methodist Church, because we had a board meeting, we were talking about stewardship. And I wouldn't want to tell you some of the things that were said. I went home from the board meeting that night and I was in tears. I couldn't understand how anyone that knew and loved the Lord Jesus Christ could talk the way those men and those women had. And that was, I guess, the way the Lord brought me to my knees and made me decide to leave the Methodist Church and go speak to the men at Woodside about joining them there. Of course, Dr. Gill's mother says she prayed me out of there. She worked hard. I said she prayed every night, but that's what I did. I left them. And I'd long been under conviction about infant baptism. I couldn't understand it at all. And so when there was a baptism service at Woodside, I was baptized there too. And since then, I really enjoyed my service to the Lord, little as it might be. Been very happy in my service to the Lord, trying to help Him.
very happy with my association at CMML, with the privilege of working there and knowing that you're doing something to try to help in the spread of the gospel. No matter how much time you have to give, it's well worth it. You're not doing it for the praise of man. You're not doing it for praise at all. You're doing it because you know and you love the Lord. Speaking of that brings me to another mundane thing. I'm one of these men that get very unhappy when a choir sings and the people applaud. They don't applaud when the speaker finishes his message, but they applaud when the choir sings. Just the choir isn't singing for applause. I hope not anyway. They're singing to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, to turn hearts to think about Him. We can say with the psalmist, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. We can say that we can sing it, and we should surely challenge our hearts to do something for Him. There are so many ways, large and small, that we can serve. Many are serving well, but many can be challenged to serve even more. Just think of the outreach from your own local assembly here. Perhaps the greatest outreach any assembly has is to work with the children and the young people. May I ask you to check yourself and see what your response is when there's an announcement about Daily Vacation Bible School or work with the Sunday School? Twice today I've heard an announcement about a meeting next Sunday night for the Sunday School teachers and anyone interested in the Sunday School. The whole assembly ought to be there. Everybody should have an interest in the Sunday School. It's the greatest outreach we have, reaching the young people for Christ. And sometimes there are other requests. And what's your reaction? I don't know whether you do that or not. You put a list on the board and ask for somebody to entertain a speaker. You say, well, let somebody else do that. I'm too busy. I'll leave that to somebody else. But you know, some of the greatest blessings come when you have missionaries in particular visiting your home and talk to your children and sit around the table with you. And think how you spend your Sunday afternoons. All so many Christians today spend it in rapt attention before a TV set at a football game or a golf course or something like that, not thinking at all about the Lord. No time to read, no time to study God's Word, but hours with their eyes glued on a television set. And then even make an announcement perhaps at the family Bible hour. I hope everybody comes out tonight even though it is Super Bowl Sunday. We shouldn't have to say that. People should be concerned about the Lord Jesus Christ. And how about your prayer life? Do you pray for yourself alone? Do you pray for the assembly? Do you pray for the chapel activities? Do you pray for those who are out serving the Lord on the foreign field? And how about your giving? Do you give to the Lord from the first fruits of what you get? Would you look at your budget? Is the amount that you give to the Lord taken off the top? Or is it what left at the end? How do you participate in all the activities of your local assembly? How about just being friendly with the person that sat next to you this morning, or perhaps is sitting next to you now and you've never seen them before? Do you make visitors feel at home? Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. He suffered for you and He suffered for me as no man before or since has suffered. When we think of all that He has done for us, we can only go back to those very, very familiar words. How can I do less than give Him my best and live for Him completely after all He's done for me? Do we always do the things that will please Him? Are we always engaged in activities that we know He would be pleased with? As we mentioned this morning, are we doing things that we wouldn't want to be doing when the Lord comes? We want the Lord to find us in certain places that we go? I commend you to the reading again and again of the 12th chapter of Romans. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your...
service. As for man, his days are as grass. As for God, His way is perfect. As for me, say in your heart, I will seek to serve the Lord. Recall the words from Joshua 24:15. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose ye this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your father served there were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for man, his days are as grass. As for God, his way is perfect. Say in your heart, as for me, I will serve the Lord however I can. Shall we pray? Our God and our Father, again we lift our hearts with grateful thanksgiving to thee for all that we are and all that we have because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But, O our God, when we realize there are untold millions around the globe who know nothing about our Savior, our hearts become burdened and concerned that the gospel message be given out. We just pray, our God, that our hearts will be exercised, that we will say, as for me, I will serve the Lord wherever he leads me, wherever he calls me, and I will do it with every bit of strength and breath that I have, and that we will seek to give honor and glory to his worthy and precious name. Again, we commend ourselves to thee. We thank thee for this assembly, for the very faithful testimony, for the great outreach they have, and the great blessing they are to the missionaries around the world. And just continue to be with them and guide and bless them in the days ahead. We commit ourselves to thee now for journeying mercies in the worthy and precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.